Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. And here we are, we returned from the Feast of Tabernacles. I trust everyone has had a superb and fulfilling feast. My wife and I, along with several of the brethren here, went to Jekyll Island, where we had a wonderful time, a lot of fellowship, and a lot of wonderful messages. We also discovered that things are heating up in the political arena. While we were focused on the kingdom of God, the rest of America seemed to be focused on the fate of Big Bird. But once again, here we are on God's holy Sabbath. We have the opportunity to take our attention from these things and on to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. So moving on. Brethren, we live in a world fixated on things. Modern business and advertisement are deliberately constructed and presented such as to stir up a longing and desire for things and to breed frustration and resentment if they are not obtained. These scriptures, however, frame for us altogether a different path, a path where we are to find satisfaction and contentment, patience, and long-suffering, yet still in a world that demands the opposite. The title for today is Christian Contentment. If you would please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Here, Paul writes, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Paul tells us here we're not born with this mindset, it must be acquired. Not turning there, but in Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul continues and says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am there to be content." Whatever place or state Paul was in, whatever condition he was in, he was content and satisfied. This is remarkable considering what Paul had been through, both at the hands of the Romans and at the hands of his own people. But how was Paul able to achieve this state of mind? What is it that Paul knew that we should know? We'll consider here three brief points. First, Paul well understood the true source of discontent, dissatisfaction, resentment, and lust. And he also understood that excess of any kind and materialism were an outgrowth of this mindset. Next, Paul also understood that all things physical are temporary and by themselves have no lasting value. Paul also knew that the physical will not produce eternal life, which only comes as a gift from God Himself. And last, Paul understood that gaining eternity requires having your focus in life not on the material, but on Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. First, considering the source of discontent, if you would please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Here we find the true source of discontent. This is one very powerful being. One of his greatest weapons is our underestimation of his power. However, we are nowhere told to fear him. but by the power of God, if we resist him, he will flee from us. We find this in James chapter 4 and verse 7. We are told, however, to flee from sin. Continuing in verse 3, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the others. Not turning there, but in Romans 12 and verse 21, Paul continues, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a landmark scripture for us, or what we often call a memory scripture. But what we must understand that one or the other will happen in the end. A man or a woman will overcome evil with good, or we ourselves will be overcome. There is no middle ground. If you would please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 16, considering things that are physical in nature. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, this is only done through the power of God and his Spirit. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, physical, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Most of us just returned from the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is one of the lessons often taught there. Tabernacles are temporary dwellings. The Feast of Tabernacles itself is temporary. Physical life is temporary. It was never designed to be anything else. The temporary nature of life and things physical also serves the plan and purpose of God. If you would please turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning here in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will become as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is the ultimate end of all things physical, and this includes those who do not overcome evil with good. Continuing in verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved and being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Finally, we come to the solution of all of this. Focus on the kingdom of God. We are all human creatures with human needs and desires, and we live in a physical planet and a very physical world. God designed it this way. The eternal God designed it temporary because our stay in it is to be temporary. Whether we are called now in this age or at a later time, the journey is still the same. Transition from physical to spiritual. This should be the main focus of each and every person so called. So how then do we achieve this godliness and contentment Paul was speaking of? First, we should understand that God is our provider in all things. It's written in Psalm 50, verse 12. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and its fullness. If you would please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. Here we find the attitude of Jesus Christ concerning things physical and human needs. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. King David was inspired to write in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. During the year, we store up our physical wealth in order to make it to the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is right. And this is good. But just as important, we should store up and build our spiritual wealth along with faith in God to deliver us into his kingdom. If you would please, we'll go back just a few verses in Matthew 6 to verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy. And this is a temporary nature of all things. Where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here is the heart and core of the whole message. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. There is nothing wrong or improper about physical wealth and physical things. That's not the message here. God has given us all these things to use, enjoy, and derive a benefit from. There is a problem with physical things if they have the wrong place in our lives. The Apostle Paul plainly labels wrong fixation on the physical or covetousness, as the scriptures describe it, as idolatry. This is found in Colossians 3 and verse 5. It's ironic, if we think about it, that we can commit sin with covetousness and never actually obtain the object in question. It all takes place in the mind. Concluding, as we read these New Testament scriptures, we find that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, travels were many, sufferings were many, his trials and afflictions were many. Yet he remained steadfast and faithful right up to the very end. Paul knew that contentment for the faithful Christian meant not abstinence or denial of physical things, but proper appreciation with God first and foremost in one's life. But how? Paul never could have accomplished this feat on his own, and neither can we. This was done by the power of God's Spirit working in Paul, and by his active, living faith in Jesus Christ. This same strength and power is still available for us today. Not turning there, but it's written in Philippians 4 and verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned. So this is a learning process that Paul had to go through himself. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And this is exactly how Paul did it. Continuing in 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.